Hi, I'm Laura LaBelle, the host of The Impossible Job, a podcast about the misadventures in parenting that every parent goes through, regardless of who your family is. Not an expert, just a parent. The Impossible Job podcast is supported by Richmond to DC HelpWanted.com, the hometown advantage. Most folks who work here love living here. They care about the community. At Richmond to DC HelpWanted.com, they're proud to work with the hometown advantage around the clock, connecting local employers to local job seekers. Richmond to DC HelpWanted.com makes it easy to post a job, and it's local, so you won't get spammed by faraway job seekers. Post your job today on Richmond to DC HelpWanted.com. And if you're looking for a good local job, search jobs and apply online right now. Get the advantage of finding a job close to home at richmondtodchelpwanted.com. Local jobs that work. Hi, everyone, and welcome to The Impossible Job. I am your host, Laura LaBelle, and on today's show, I have my, well, one of my very best friends for a really long time. I've known her since fourth grade. I have my friend Megan on the show. Welcome to the show, Megan.
Thank you, Laura. Good to be here.
Good. Megan just had her first little baby boy, baby Colin, and congratulations.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
How's it going?
It's going, you know, one day at a time.
Yeah.
As well, I've been saying, you just roll with the punches, you know.
Yeah, it's a bit of a roller coaster ride, but, you know. You have your ups and your downs, but I'm sure probably everyone has told you that.
For sure, yeah. And you know, not surprisingly, but I guess, you know, until you experience it, you don't really know what it'll be like. And so many moms have been super supportive, just sort of moms coming out of the woodworks, checking on me and asking me how things are going. So it's definitely awesome to have great support.
That's good. I'm so happy for you. So before you got pregnant, did you have any idea of how you thought it was going to go? Like, did you have, like, expectations based on, like, what your friends and other family members had gone through with their pregnancies?
You know, I don't think anything really could have prepared me. I had tons of friends who had been pregnant. My sister had recently been pregnant in the last few years. My mom, you know, was pregnant when I was 10 years old, so I kind of experienced that with her as a child. But right. Nothing could have prepared me for my pregnancy.
Well, one of the kind of obstacles, I guess we could say, for your pregnancy is you were diagnosed with gestational diabetes, and that's actually our topic for today. So tell us about that. Like, how was your pregnancy going before you found out you had gestational diabetes?
So first trimester was what I would consider normal. I had morning sickness throughout the day. I didn't actually vomit, but I just felt sick all day long. And I'd come home from work, I'd lay on the couch, and I'd wake up 2 hours later and be shocked that I could fall asleep so fast and so often. Because usually I'm not a nap taker. My second trimester, you know, I was preparing myself for this burst of energy because that's what everyone says that it's like.
Ha.
And that was not the case for me.
Yeah.
I was quite miserable, probably more irritable than my husband would have liked, and not sleeping at all. And, you know, although I did press through it, we took a trip to Alaska, I really did not have the energy that I wanted to have for a trip like that. Or that, you know, it wasn't like all of the people had said second trimester would be. So when I found out I had gestational diabetes, it wasn't super surprising, I guess, although it was at the time to me, but in hindsight.
How far along were you when they tested? Was it like, when did they test that? Like 24 weeks or so or something?
They tested me around 28 weeks to start.
Okay.
Then I failed I believe it was 28, my first test.
Yeah.
I failed that one, the 1 hour.
Right.
And was obviously upset about that, but knew I still had a chance. So within the next couple weeks, I had, or I'd say the next week, I had the 3-hour test, and that was miserable. But I was obviously
what
goes, that,
what goes into the, I mean, for everyone who's been pregnant, you kind of know what the 1-hour test is. You drink this super sugary drink, then you have to wait like an hour, and then you get your blood sugar tested, and as long as it falls within that normal range, then you're good to go. What happens during the second test? Because is it equivalent, or do you have to wait 3 hours after you have that sugary drink, or like?
Right. So they, now I'm actually trying to kind of rack my brain to remember exactly, because it was so emotional, but you take the sugary drink, and then they test you at each hour mark following that to sort of see how is your body continuing to process that sugar. So you have your fasting test, and then you take your sugary drink. How is that? How is that tested an hour? How is it again at another hour, and then another hour? So it's lots of drawing lots of blood.
Right.
So, you know, I had sort of researched it beforehand and made sure that I asked them to lie down after so that I wasn't fainting. But so it was definitely, you know, it's emotional.
Yeah.
I was hopeful because it was about a week had passed and I hadn't heard anything. So I felt I was sort of out of the clear, and I actually was at work and got a call. I had missed a call from them, and then I got a call to schedule the dietitian. So I knew at that point that there was a reason that they were calling me and that I did fail that test. So
how did that make you feel? I mean, that you had to like go to a dietitian now, like,
I found out when I was at school, and I really just couldn't stop crying the whole day. So my pregnancy had already felt really tough, so feeling like it was just one more added thing really was a lot. But, you know, once I got over that and realized, okay, I got to do this. I have to do this for the baby. Then I it took about another week and a half until I could meet with a dietitian, which that was probably the most stressful time during with the whole diagnosis, because I didn't know what to do.
Right, you didn't know what to expect.
Yeah, and you can do your own research, but, you know, going and Googling things isn't always the best idea.
No, definitely not, because it's always like, I had a friend when she was pregnant, and like any little like twinge or cramp or any sort of like little thing, she would Google it, and then she would get herself like worked up and like this panic, and I was like, it's fine, it's okay, like I'm sure if like as long as these like few major things aren't happening, it's probably fine. But like, you can always call your doctor. And then I think eventually her doctor was like, you need to stop looking at stuff online. Like, you're driving yourself nuts. So,
for sure. So like that first week, you know, I went to the grocery store and I'm thinking, oh, I can't have anything with carbohydrates. And you look at everything in the grocery store on the labels has carbohydrates. So I sort of pumped myself up like, what? How am I even going to do this? But when I actually met with a dietitian, I realized that it was going to be doable, and that, you know, obviously when you have a little one inside of you, you have a little extra added energy to do whatever you can to take care of of that person inside of you. So
You get this little determination kind of.
Exactly.
You're already momming up, and you don't have, I mean, you have the baby, but you know, you're not holding the baby, but you already like, you're momming up for it. So that's awesome.
Right.
Did they tell you what form of gestational diabetes you had? Like, I know there's two different classifications. It's A1 and A2. And I know A1, I think, is just controlled by, like, diet, exercise, things like that, and they monitor your weight. And then A2, you actually have to, like, check your blood sugar frequently and, like, take insulin and things like that.
So it was A1. However, they did have me check my blood sugar. So, okay. You know, sort of monitoring that to see was the diet going to be enough to control it. Although they didn't really mention insulin at all to me at the beginning. So I did have A1 and it remained that way. I was diet controlled. And I checked my blood sugar 4 times a day.
Okay.
Fasting and then an hour after each meal. Okay. And they asked me to log that.
Okay.
Those numbers.
So, what did they do to set you up? I mean, I know you said you went to a nutritionist, but, what was your plan that they set you up with?
So, they sent me to the dietitian and she was wonderful. She really educated me on diabetes and what I could do to be diet controlled. So, basically, I learned a lot about complex carbs, which, like, an example of a complex carbs are fruits and vegetables, quinoa. The opposite of that would be, like, white bread. And that basically I did need to have carbs, but I needed to have more complex carbs, and I need to pair it with protein.
Right.
So she told me, you know, okay, about 50, for every 15 grams of that complex carbohydrate, you need to have 7 grams of protein, because the protein helps to process the carbohydrates. So she sort of gave me a set meal plan for breakfast, lunch, and dinner of how many carbs I could have, and then that I could also how many carbs I should have for each snack. And I was supposed to have 3 snacks. So actually, at the beginning, I felt like I was eating more than I was eating before.
Right.
It was just different. So instead of having cereal for breakfast, which was something that I would do, not really thinking that was bad. I got up every morning I'm a teacher, so I got up every morning before school and made myself eggs and then a piece of toast and sometimes a little bit of meat. So, you know, I just kind of changed my habits.
Okay. So what were some of your symptoms, or did you notice any symptoms before you found out you had diabetes? Like, I know you said you were kind of tired and you weren't really... You didn't get that burst of energy, but, I mean, I didn't either. Neither of my pregnancies, I didn't have that burst of energy. And, like, I was pretty sick well into my my second trimester. So was, like, right. there anything else that, like, tipped you off or?
There wasn't really anything that tipped me off. What made the difference is once I started the diet. And that's how I knew that there had been something wrong.
Gotcha.
Once I was on the diet for about 2 weeks, basically I found what worked for me, and some things worked and some things didn't. And but once I found things that worked, like for snack, I would have half a Granny Smith apple and like a tablespoon of peanut butter. So, mm-hmm. okay. So I would eat that every day. So once I found what worked for me, I was sleeping better. I had more energy. I was nicer. So everything just changed. And, you know, everyone tells you the third trimester, it's just exhausting again and you're not sleeping and this and that. And so for me, that I really got that like burst of energy that third trimester. It was like night and day the way I felt.
Okay. That's nice.
That's really, it was kind of like opposite that I didn't really notice any symptoms prior, but you know, once I had made that diet change, I noticed a huge improvement.
Well, that's good.
Of the pregnancy, so.
That's good. I'm glad that, you know, some of your pregnancy was enjoyable. I mean, it sounds like it was more enjoyable than mine, to an extent. So.
Oh, gosh. Well, I'm being positive, you know, there's still.
Yeah.
I felt huge and all of that, but, you know, once you're. I guess I was trying to find the silver lining of being diagnosed with gestational diabetes because, you know, it was a downer at first.
Yeah, no, I understand. I mean, I can't really, not being in that situation, it's hard for me to put myself kind of in that mind space, but just the idea of kind of something getting thrown at you, kind of like, not necessarily out of nowhere, but just maybe something that you weren't necessarily expecting. And then like all these other changes are happening already and just having this something else kind of get thrown in there that could potentially like risk the health of you and your unborn child. That's definitely really stressful. So I think that's really amazing that you were able to, like I said earlier, mom up and then kind of just do what was best for yourself and for your baby. And you found a way to, you know, enjoy your pregnancy after that. So I think that's really amazing.
Well, thank you. It wasn't a perfect road. My baby shower was a little less than exciting when I couldn't have very many of the sweets, you know. Yeah.
as much things in life are, nothing goes according to plan.
This is true. So. This is very true.
Did the doctors kind of tell you why you had gotten gestational diabetes, or were there like any causes to it?
Basically, you know, there are some precursors for diabetes, like of gestational diabetes, if it runs in your family. Mm-hmm. If you're over 25, I believe, if you are overweight. So there are some precursors. However, up until this time, you know, I've gone into all my appointments. I would always say, do I weigh enough? Am I weighing too much? Is everything okay? And it was always fine. So for me, they really explained that gestational diabetes was about the placenta, and that is the main factor with it. So basically, the hormones from the placenta cause the cells not to recognize the insulin as they normally would to process the sugar. So if you kind of think of it as it bounces back the sugar cells back into your bloodstream. So
okay.
Where normally that sugar would be processed through with the insulin, it's not. And so you end up with high blood sugar. So that's why you have to have the diet controlled because it obviously can affect the baby. And then typically people with gestational diabetes, if it's not controlled, end up with larger babies. So that's sort of, I mean, that helped. It was hard to not feel like, was there anything I could have done, you know, like thinking about, oh, I eat cereal, and my husband works on off schedule, so sometimes I have pizza for dinner and I do what's easy, you know. But basically they really reassured me that there wasn't anything I could have done, that it was about the placenta, and that once I had the baby that I would likely be fine. So they did tell me that there was a 50% higher chance that I could get type 2 diabetes later in life. Mm-hmm. So I needed to continue to watch my carbohydrate intake. But that was reassuring. You know, it's just, you have to try to believe it.
Yeah, it's nothing that you were doing wrong. It's just... It's just something that's happened. So do you have like a family history of gestational diabetes or diabetes in general?
No, I don't. And so that was another thing, you know, that it just sort of, it shocked me when they told me that, because, you know, you feel like, okay, well, I exercise, although I probably didn't exercise as much as I could have during my pregnancy prior to the gestational diabetes. Once I did have diabetes, I exercised about 10 minutes after every meal. I would walk to help just sort of process those carbs and everything. But it was good for the body too.
Yeah.
Another silver lining. But no history. So okay. It was just sort of luck of the draw, I guess.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, and you're a fairly petite. You've been very petite your whole life. And mm-hmm. I'm taller. I'm taller. I'm a little bigger than you. And I mean, I've had two children. So my first, Lucy, she's now 6. But when she was born, she was 9 pounds. So she was a little on the bigger side, but yeah. I had cleared. I did the little challenge with the drink and everything, and I passed it. With my son, who is going to be 3 very soon. He was 9 pounds, 10 ounces when he was born.
Wow.
And I also did the little challenge with him and I passed it. But when he was born, I think like the doctors or the nurses, they were convinced that I had had gestational diabetes because he was a bigger baby. He was also late. He was like 2 weeks late. So,
okay. But yeah. Well, that could be it.
But still, but they, they asked if I had a history of gestational diabetes and I said no. And they asked if I had done the test and I said yeah and I passed it. They're like, are you sure? but they had to they tested his blood sugar a few times throughout the day while we were there to make sure that he was processing his he was developing enough insulin on his own and things like that.
Yeah.
But they were really worried about that. But
interesting.
I was a little offended.
Yeah.
Because it's like, no, we just have big babies in our family, okay? That part was the genetic part, not the other thing. But so that was my main, I don't know. I wouldn't say it was a complication, but yeah, there was some concern or some
debate.
Right,
they got you all worried.
Yeah. Did you, when you were going through your birth, did you have any complications due to the gestational diabetes?
Not due to the gestational diabetes, no.
Okay.
Now Colin was, they did test his blood sugars after, and that was sad. He kept pricking his little foot.
Yeah.
And
they don't always get the blood. With Willie, he clotted so quickly, I guess, that they would have to stick him maybe 2 to 3 times just to get enough blood to test it. And that really made me angry.
Yeah, I did not like that, him coming back with all these pricks in his foot. But I'm glad he was okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I did enjoy my first sweets pretty early on after he was born. After not having dessert for a long time.
How long did they test after you had given birth to make sure that everything had gone back to normal?
Now, this is really interesting because I asked my husband about this. I was like, did they test me in the hospital? And he's like, no, I don't think so. I don't really think that they did. I feel like they just, and I'm not making this up, my midwife came in and she's like, you're fine. I'm like, so I don't have diabetes anymore? I'm good? Yeah, you're fine. Eat whatever you want, you know? And so I've been asking some friends who I learned had gestational diabetes, you know, as I went through this, you realize you probably know someone who's had it if you think you don't. They're telling me, well, I got tested 6 or 8 weeks after I was pregnant and I did not. So that will be something that I have to do. I actually did this week, probably because I knew I was doing this. I tested my blood sugar twice in the morning just out of curiosity. And it was good both times. So, because I have the glucose meter. So, sort of interesting that there's not a ton of follow up with it. You sort of have to be proactive on your own about it. And then also just to continue to think about that diet because I do have a greater chance of getting type 2 diabetes, and I don't want to just think, oh, I'm fine and, you know, eat whatever I want.
Yeah. I guess it makes sense because if it's the reason that you get gestational diabetes is because the placenta is producing insulin counteracting hormones that's causing it. And then obviously once you give birth, you pass the placenta. So the placenta is not there to produce those hormones anymore. So,
right.
So I guess that might be why they don't test it, but
yeah.
It still kind of surprises me that they wouldn't just double check, but
I feel like that too. Yeah, it's kind of, I mean, part of me is like happy because I feel like I'm not on any sort of regimented diet anymore and I don't want to be. But the other part of me is like, well, it'd be good to just know foolproof, you know, that I don't. So,
right. Now, Colin at risk for having diabetes in the future because of this, or is it just, or no?
I don't believe that he is. I don't believe that he is, but don't quote me on that.
Okay. So how are you doing today?
I am doing pretty well. You know, obviously being a new mom comes with its own challenges. Mm-hmm. It does help that I can have a little sweet here and there, yes, to ease a little stress, but I am loving life as a new mom. I am able to take off 3 months with my son, so that has been awesome. And he's doing pretty well. You know, some nights he was sleeping 5 hours and then 4 hours for me. And then he stopped that for a little bit. But last night he slept 7 hours. So I'm going to take that
run
with it.
Yeah.
And keep praying it happens again and again and again. And if not, I'll just, you know, I think that's the biggest part. If not, just stepping back and saying, okay, we'll just keep trying.
Awesome, though. Yeah, I mean, again, it's a bit of a roller coaster. Some things will get worse, some things will get better, and honestly, as soon as you think you're nailing it, something's going to change and then mess it up.
Yeah. I will say, if anybody's listening that is diagnosed with gestational diabetes, one of the other silver linings is that when you're eating healthy, and unlike what everybody, you know, you go to a party nowadays and you're pregnant and everybody's like, oh, you can have two. So you are like, oh, okay, I'll have two. That's at least what I did before I had diabetes. So one silver lining is that I actually like lost some weight, even before, like in places that I wasn't, I had it before I was pregnant. So that's kind of nice that, you know, and now I'm on a good track with pretty much healthier eating. So that's another silver lining of gestational diabetes.
Yeah. I mean, you kind of get, since you had the access to like a nutritionist, then you kind of learn a little bit more about the things that you're putting into your body and hopefully kind of puts you on a better path to, you know, treat your body a little bit better throughout the years.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
If you were, say you had a friend or someone that you knew recently found out that they had gestational diabetes, what's something that you would like to tell them?
Well, I would say that you're going to get through it. It seems tough at the beginning, but it will get easier. And that I think that they'll probably notice, you know, a change in the way they feel. And so it is worth it. And obviously I'm sure, you know, anybody who has it, it's worth it because of the baby, but it's worth it with the way that you'll feel, putting the time in and putting the energy into planning your meals and eating healthy. But mostly that you will get through it. It's that last hump. And before you know it, the baby will be here. And then you see why it's worth it.
Yeah, so. Definitely. You can see the proof is in the pudding.
Yes. Yes. And it's so worth it. So.
So I did a little research. And it says some of the things for prevention is to eat healthy foods. Choose foods that are high in fiber, low in fat and calories. Focus on fruits, vegetables, and whole grains. Keep active. Make sure you're exercising before and during your pregnancy, and that can help prevent gestational diabetes. And to try to lose excessive weight before your pregnancy. Obviously, doctors don't recommend weight loss during your pregnancy, but if you're planning to get pregnant, if you have a lot of excessive weight beforehand, hopefully that can help pave the path for a healthier pregnancy. And then it said also to focus on permanent changes in your eating and exercise habits. To motivate yourself by remembering the long-term benefits. So,
and realizing, you know, when you're sort of forced to do this, obviously I wasn't forced, but when you are forced to do this, a diet for the health of your child, you know, you're trying to learn, you realize, like when I was doing this, I realized walking through the grocery store and when I go out to eat, you know, we have so many bad options in front of us that we may not even realize, you know. Sometimes you pick up a yogurt, that yogurt might have like 20 grams of sugar in it. That's not good for you.
Yeah.
So there usually is a better option, maybe just like a few feet down. You just have to keep looking. There are better options, and you can do it. You can find things that are good. My dessert when I had gestational diabetes was like a low sugar yogurt, high in protein, and then 3 graham crackers. So a lot of it was, you know, servings that are a 3 graham crackers. I mean, like the little slivers, so like a graham cracker and a half. But it, a lot of it is like looking at serving sizes and just having control, going out to eat and getting the chicken and the salad or whatever. So whereas, you know, nowadays our portions are really a lot of times for two people, even though it's a meal for one. So
yeah, I have a beef with portion sizes. I mean, a serving size for Oreos is 2 Oreos. I'm sorry, but that's not enough Oreos. Like, I'm sorry, that's a stupid serving size. Don't give me 2 Oreos and say that's 1 serving. That's just ridiculous, but I digress.
I love it.
Yeah. An important thing, I think, to keep in mind is if you are diagnosed with gestational diabetes, is to remember it's not your fault. You didn't do anything wrong, and that there is absolutely light at the end of the tunnel. And just try to get a good team around you for support, and get with like a nutritionist to kind of help you pave that path to,
for sure,
to, you know, make sure you're making healthier choices and kind of get you a plan so you don't feel so overwhelmed, because it's very understandably probably something really overwhelming to go through, especially when your body's already going through all these changes anyway. So
for sure.
Well, Megan, I think that's a really good place to kind of wrap this up. Thank you so much for coming on the show and kind of sharing your experiences and your knowledge on this. I know this is something that isn't necessarily talked about a lot. It's just something everyone kind of goes through testing for, but they don't necessarily get a lot of info on it unless it's something that you're kind of having, something that you're going to end up having to face. So I think it's really important for people to kind of know about it. So thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Anytime. We'll have to check in with you later when you're kind of in the toddler phases and really in the thick of it. Can't wait to hear those stories.
Ooh. Oh, yeah. It's only just begun.
Yeah. I'll tell you all the stories about how, you know, Willie throws remote controls in the toilet and Lucy's talking about her farts when we're out in public. And
oh, it's just, lovely.
It's magical times. Moment. Yeah, magical times. All right, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please rate, comment, and subscribe. You can find The Impossible Job at b1015.com, keyword podcast. You can also download and subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play Music, You can follow me on Twitter at _impossiblejob or join the Facebook page. You can email me directly if you have any questions, comments, or ideas for a show at laura@wbqb.com. All right, everyone. Thanks. Bye.
The views, thoughts, and opinions expressed by the host and guests on this podcast are their own and not necessarily those of Centennial Broadcasting.